Here's the number one secret for you to build generational wealth with land investing. In today's episode with Brad Warren, and he is a land banking consultant. So, Brad, please tell us, how can entrepreneurs start building generational wealth by investing in land? And what is generational wealth?
Property Wealth Strategies podcast with Lily Patrashko shares world's most influential property investors, sharing their strategies for making money with property.
Yes, and what is land banking? Most people start off asking me that. So the company that I work for actually buys land itself. It has a very extensive process for finding land. We have a very high bar. We then sell that land to investors. They buy and hold. So this is not a flip. This is not get rich quick or overnight. This is buying and holding. We tell people 7 to 10 years. That's the general time frame that it takes for the developers to start building all around you. And then all of a sudden, they need your land to add to their project. And that's where the money is made. You exit by selling your land to a developer, a home builder, a shopping center builder, a football stadium builder. They need your land to consolidate it with other smaller parcels to put it together into a big parcel to build their project. And that's where the money can be made.
Wow, it sounds like you need a lot of insider knowledge in order to figure out what the potential projects are for potential developers in the area. So how do you discover what's the best location to invest in land? And how do you get this kind of like insider information about where a development is likely to take place so that you can leverage that?
Great question. And I started investing with this company. I was actually a purchaser back in 2012. So I've owned land for what is today, 2025. So that's 13 years. My wife and I actually own 12 parcels. We just recently bought one about 2 months ago. And the reason I got attracted to this company is because of that very thing that you were pointing to. They do all the due diligence. They attend city council meetings. They get newsletters. They get the general plan that has to get updated. And they're always following the money. If you find that a road, let's say there's a road going through this area, and you find that the city council just put in $180 million to develop the off-ramps off of that road, you got to ask yourself, why are they doing that? They must know something. Well, duh, there's development coming at each of those exits along that freeway. And so the land right near there is obviously a good investment because there's a relatively good chance that somebody, the guy that puts up a grocery store with a gas station, or it could be an EV charging station, electric vehicle charging station, which is happening to a much greater extent than gas stations. Excuse me. Oh, apologize. We just came back from a 3-week vacation, and I think I caught something on the last day of the cruise. So I do apologize. So the company does all the due diligence, and that's why I invested with this company, and now I actually work for the company.
Oh, that's so interesting. So the idea is not that you go out and you do your own research necessarily, but you partner up with another company, let's say that already has this kind of information about where you can possibly invest so you can bank on investing in land. Is that the idea?
That is exactly the idea. Let us do the research. We have what's called a 16-point comprehensive analysis checklist. Every piece of property that we look at must get a yes check mark in all 16 boxes, or we don't even touch it. So there could be a buried gas tank from a gas station that was on this land 50 years ago, which has polluted the land. We can find out about that. It may be in what's called an SEA, a significant ecological area. If you buy land in an SEA, no matter what the person that sold it to you said, you cannot develop it. There's a red-legged toad or a tortoise or a bird or somebody, something, some animal lives there, and you cannot develop in that area. We've had several people from another company, which is now out of business, thank God, because they were crooks. But they were selling this land to people, not having to divulge it, because commercial real estate is different than residential. In residential, If the real estate agent knows that there was a meth lab there or someone died in the house 20 years ago, they, by law, must divulge that. In commercial real estate, if we know something like that, we do not have to tell the buyer. So this company was selling land to people in SEAs and not telling them that. And they would call us and say, hey, I tried to call my company. They're out of business. I own land in this area. Can you help me sell it? No, sorry. You're in an SEA. Didn't they tell you about that? No, they didn't. Well, you're SOL. You're sincerely out of luck. And you can't sell that land.
Thank you. What are the 16 criteria for investing in land that, let's say, someone wouldn't be able to, let's say, invest in your particular project or with your company, but if they were to look for these kind of land banking opportunities in their area, what kind of criteria would they have to look at?
Well, I can't really mention those because it's proprietary information to our company. That's why we want people to work with us. But I'll hint at a couple of them. Things like significant ecological areas. Is there a culvert running through the land that doesn't show up on anybody's map except the maps that we own? We own maps that the city and county of Los Angeles don't have. They call us when they have a land use issue and they want to know, is there a culvert where water could gather that would make this land undevelopable? We have a map, overlays of these maps from 30, 40, 50 years ago. And we can look it up and tell them, yes, there is. Don't go there. Build your project 100 yards to the west and you're fine. But if you build it there, you're in trouble. So we own these maps that no one else has. And we only, by the way, the area that we're restricted to, we only sell land within a 60-mile radius of downtown LA. Company's been doing this for 45 years. We know the area like the back of our hand. We don't invest anywhere else outside of California. And we are a little bit outside the 60 miles right now. Won't get into that. It's too much detail. But let's just say we're about 65 miles now in a couple of places, but mostly in northern LA County. That's where most of our sales are.
Thank you. What other criteria are there that people should be looking at when investing, let's say, in their area, let's say in London or in, I don't know, Germany somewhere? What kind of things should they be looking at to kind of find a good investment to invest in terms of land?
Well, you want to follow the money. You want to follow the infrastructure. Are roads being built? Are shopping centers being built? Are homes being built? If none of that's going on, then the chances of that land increasing in value are pretty slim. But if you can attend city council meetings, if you can get these reports, if you hear, like an example in the US, when Amazon was building those spaceship buildings, those round buildings, there were maybe five or six areas in the US that they were looking. I will guarantee you every real estate agent in those five areas were scouring the land right around there just in case their city got picked. Well, guess what? Four or five didn't, but one did. And whoever bought the land right around that area, because you got this big giant building with thousands of people coming, you need parking, you need coffee shops, you need hotels for people that are coming in out of town and need to stay someplace to go to a conference at that center. You need housing for the employees who are being relocated from someplace else. So if you know with absolute certainty that that project is being built in, let's just say, Nashville, Tennessee, or Reno, Nevada, where Musk built one of his battery energy storage building, you know, a battery factory being built in Reno. Once they knew that, that area exploded. The homes went up in value. People that own vacant land in that area now had a market to sell their land. Otherwise, it could sit there for 20 years and do nothing. So follow the money.
Thank you.
Do your research.
Thank you. What makes the likelihood of someone being able to really bank on investing in land in terms of, like, let's say you know now that I know a school is likely to be built or whatever else is being planned in that area. What makes you so sure that you will be able to sell it at a really high price versus the local market price?
It's a great question. And I can never use the G word. I cannot guarantee that the land will sell. All I can tell people is over 45 years of experience doing this. Our company sees gains, ROI, return on investment, anywhere from 3 to 7x. So you invest $100,000, you should exit no less than $300,000 to $700,000, somewhere in that range. I don't know of anybody that's exited less, and I know several people who've exited way more. So if you believe our research and you back it up, you do a little research yourself, but most people, when they invest with us, they know the track record that we have and the due diligence that we do, and they trust us, and then it's just a waiting game.
Thank you. How can someone who has invested in land get the best possible price for their land? Is there a particular place they would go to do that, or will people come to them with offers?
Yes, it's they come to you. I've had a couple of my clients call, should I put up a sign? Should I hire a real estate agent? No and no. What did we tell you? Oh, you told me to wait. Good. Don't call me for another 5 years. And you know, I say that jokingly, but they get the point. You wait for the developer to send you a letter or an email or give you a phone call and say, hi, Mr. Warren, we see you own land at XYZ and you paid $50,000 for it. We'd like to offer you $60,000. Let's say I bought it 3 years ago. And I go, send that to me in an email so I have it in writing and I'll get back to you. And I hang up the phone. I call the CEO of the company. I tell him about my offer, and he then researches, have any other of our clients been offered money? What's going on in that area? What do we know that they're breaking ground on? Maybe, oh, it's a hospital. There's a newspaper article we just saw from 2 weeks ago. They're breaking ground in a year in that area on a hospital. It's the contract signed, the land's been bought. We know the name of the hospital is being built. Oh, well, how much? They offered me $60,000. CEO goes, oh, Brett, they're trying to steal your land. Here's what I want you to do. He'll then give me a list of questions to ask that company. Who is your company? Where are you located? Why do you want my land? What's going to happen there? Oh, you know, we're thinking of putting up some property. Oh, what are you building? Now, at this point, they realize I'm not a jerk. I'm not selling it for $60,000. They're going to hedge their bets. Well, Mr. Warren, you know, we have some plans to potentially put up a medical facility. Really? What kind of medical facility? Is this a hospital? Is it just a little outpatient place? So I'm going to keep asking them questions and getting answers. They're going to realize I'm not stupid. I'm going to say, you know, I don't really want to sell yet. I think I'll wait. Well, Mr. Warren, let me get back to you. Then they go and they have their little powwow and they try to figure out, okay, well, we lowballed Mr. Warren at 60. Well, let's offer him. He paid 50. Let's offer him 100. They come back with 100. Oh, really? Is that the best you can do? How did you come up with that number? Why did you only offer me 60? Now you've jumped to 100. Makes me kind of wonder if my land is worth a lot more than that. Well, we'll get back to you, Mr. Warren. Now, I may not hear from them for another 6 months or a year, but now they come back at 300. Ooh, I paid 50. They're at 300. I'm at 6X. Not bad. 3 years, 4 years, 6 years. If I could go from 50,000 to 300,000 in 6 years, and I didn't do anything except pay property taxes, which are very low in California because of Proposition 13 that was passed in 1976. No, it was passed in 78, retroactive to 76. I think I did pretty well from 50 to 300. And I didn't do anything. I didn't advertise. I didn't hire a real estate agent. So we, meaning our company, offers all of our investors free negotiation coaching is what we call it. And we will help them get the highest possible price.
Wow, that's fascinating. It sounds like it's a game of leading, negotiation, and insider knowledge. So I wonder, where else can entrepreneurs go to find this kind of like insider knowledge, not necessarily in your area, but in, let's say, in their area, where can they go to kind of discover the kind of pieces of information that they're going to need in order to make a good decision related to investing in land?
Well, they would either have to find a company like ours that's operating in that area, that has the same ethics and integrity and high standards that we have, or potentially a commercial real estate agent, a good one, tops in their field, no BS, no bullshit, you know, person that talks straight and knows. they could attend city council meetings or get the minutes from city council meetings, because when the city council puts money, that's where you want to look. If they're building a road in the middle of nowhere, you got to ask yourself, why is the city council spending its own money to put a road outside of town, like for extend this road 3 miles outside of town? Kind of wondering about that. So if you can, you Google that area, you look to see. Now, by the way, Google Earth, those photos are years behind. We have ways of finding projects as they're occurring in real time, and then we plot them on our own maps. So we're not only looking at Google to see what's there, we're also outlining areas that we know where contracts have been signed for, like for building solar farms. That's public information, but you have to know where to get it. You have to consolidate that information, say, well, wow, Big Bow Solar, they just bought this piece and that piece and this piece and that piece. I wonder if they're going to buy this piece, and this piece. So again, research, due diligence, absolutely necessary. Where in the United States you can do this, I don't really know. If I did, I'd probably go buy land there, but I like what I've done with my 12 properties with my wife. We're very, very happy, and now we're just waiting. And that's really all it is. It's a buy and hold, sit and do nothing, lazy person's way of making a lot of money.
Thank you. Tell us, how can entrepreneurs collaborate with your company in order to do this? Like, what does it take?
Well, minimum investment is $25,000. So it's not $2,000 or $5,000. You can partner. Up to 4 non-family members and 8 family members can pool their money. So if 2 people have $12,500 each, they could go together for $25,000 and buy a small parcel, probably 2 to 3 acres. We can help people up to about $1 million to $2 million. That's kind of our range. After $2 million, I just turn them over to the CEO, because he will take care of them personally. When it gets that high, it's like above my pay grade. But our average investor tends to be around $50,000 to $75,000, somewhere in that range. Most of our investors, the vast majority, are multiple purchasers, so they don't just buy one. Over time, they'll buy another and another. But a $25,000 minimum, and they need to have the funds available. So if they say, well, Brad, I have $100,000 in crypto, I say, great. Convert your crypto into cash, stick it in a money market fund to earn a little interest while we're going through escrow. And when you're ready, then call me, because sometimes it takes 2, 3, 4 weeks. If they call me, once they call me and say, Brad, I have $50,000. I've watched the full land banking presentation. Oh, I forgot to mention, that's another prerequisite. We have a 1-hour video that people must watch before they're even allowed to invest. And actually, I cannot accept referrals from somebody who has not watched that, because we educate people first. If they're not educated, we don't talk to them. So we educate the investor first. After they've watched it and they have the money, they call me or they email me. Email is best, brad@bradwarren.com. And they say, hi, Brad, I've watched the full presentation. You and I spoke for an hour last month. I've done all my due diligence on you and your company. I'm ready to invest. I have $50,000. What do I do next? Then I introduce them to my boss, Marcella Silva. She's my land banker, who I bought the land from. And now I'm on her team as a real estate agent. Real estate salesperson is the technical name here in California. And they get to meet her. They get to ask her as many questions as they want. And at the end, she says, so have we answered all your questions? Yes, you have. Are you ready to buy? Yes, I am. What's your price range? 50 to 60,000. Okay. That's the end of the conversation. Now we go to Valor, the company, and we call the CEO. She does, actually. And she says, we have a buyer. Brad has a buyer, 50 to 60,000. Do we currently have a piece of property that we can sell them? And Valor looks through its inventory to see if we already have, because as I mentioned earlier, we buy the land first with our money. And we make sure it's all set and ready. And then, of course, we mark up the price a little to make a profit. That's to pay the staff. And we look to see if we have. If we have a property, they pull it out of inventory, which means no other agent can now sell that property. Only me and my client will see that property. If we don't, then they say, okay, research and acquisition department, the entire department, find a property between 50 and 60,000 in the next couple of weeks. That's your job. Could take them a couple of days, might take them 3 weeks. One of my clients waited about a month before we finally found something in their price range, because they were in the sweet spot where they had people in front of them. So we had to find one, two, and then finally they got theirs. So we'll go out and find them a property. And then we show them the property. Marcel puts together a 30-minute, it's called a property profile video. And they look at it and they say, oh my God, it's surrounded by solar farms. They're already there. I see them on the Google map. And yes, I want it. And then they put down a deposit. And 3 weeks later, they own the property.
Thank you. It sounds a little bit as well, like it's a tiny bit of a lottery as well. Like you could like invest in land and it could work out very well. And then there is also a chance that it may not get bought, right? Like, but you have, your company has made all the due diligence and is working with, you know, so many years of experience of having done this, and it has worked over and over again. But there's still that tiny risk of not being able to sell the property, right?
There is risk in every investment on the planet Earth. And anybody that tells you otherwise is blowing smoke up your parts of your body. I won't say what those are, but yeah, they're blowing smoke in your face. Every risk, every investment on the planet Earth has some risk. We try to mitigate that as much as we possibly can. And then it's just, do you trust us? Do you trust our research? If the answer is yes, you can purchase this property. You might sell it in 2 or 3 years. It might take 15. We don't know. But based on history, the land sells.
Thank you. What are the biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs make when investing in land?
Not doing due diligence, not listening to their heart and their gut. Because if you're feeling funny and there's something squirrely about the person you're talking to, trust your gut. Hang up the phone, say, no, thank you, not going to work with you. We wish a lot of people had done that with this other company because we knew it from day one. They actually called me. They wanted to try to get me to tell them all the secrets. We actually had a couple of people from that company come to one of our open houses, you know, like in a hotel. And they started asking questions. And we said, you know, we'd like to talk to you after. Because we knew right away they were trying to get the secrets from us of how we find the land so that they could do it. And at the end, we just said, oh, you work with so-and-so. And they went, how did you know that? We know that. Have a nice day. We just made them leave because we just knew. So trust your gut. Do your due diligence. You know, right now, there's Google. 20 years ago, that didn't exist.
Some of your case study projects that you've worked with and how that has worked out for you and other clients of yours.
Okay. I'll tell you about one of mine. She bought a property. This was a huge, we call it a whale. She bought a $750,000 property. It was like 20 acres. And it was industrial or might even been a commercial property. I forget the exact designation. There's actually five kinds of zoning for land. And the more expensive ones are harder to find and like that. So she kept, you know, oh, I got this offer and it was a low ball and I don't think this is really going to happen. And she kept doubting us and herself. A very long story, very short. 5 years from date of purchase to closing, she sold the property for $2 million. Now, she didn't listen to our advice because that's not 3X. 3X would have been 2.25. She thought she could do it on her own. So we gave her some coaching. We told her some things to ask, but she basically got her and her attorney and they finally sold it for $2 million. And we were disappointed, actually. She was thrilled. She made $1.25 million in 5 years. She was very happy. Marcella, my boss, had a client. This was a woman who owned a daycare center, had a lot of money. She was very smart with her money. She had a bunch of money. She bought a property for $150,000. She had it 6 months and she got a call and their first offer was $300,000. She called us. We gave her some coaching. She turned it down. Next offer was $500,000. We said, that's more than 3X and it's been like less than a year. We can't directly tell her to sell. That's financial advice and we would lose our real estate license. So we give them hints. That's an excellent price. That's fair market value, which basically meant, yeah, sell. Turned it down. Very long story, very short. After 2 years of negotiating, she sold that property. Remember, she bought it for $150,000, 1.5 $5 million, 10x in 2 years on her own negotiating. We thought she was freaking crazy. She turned down $750. She turned down $1 million, and she turned down, I think it was $1.2 million. And finally, we were like, finally, we breathe a sigh of relief. She took 1.5. So those are two examples.
Wow, that's fascinating. Tell us about how investing in land worked out for you.
Well, I'm going to be perfectly honest with people. We have not sold any of our properties. My oldest one is 13 years old. And people say, well, Brad, aren't you concerned? I said, well, no, but it's past the 10 years. I said, that's an average. Yeah, I'm a little beyond. I don't need the money. It's in my retirement funds. It's in my Roth IRA. So when I sell it, it'll be all tax-free anyway. I said, well, why aren't you concerned? Well, let me tell you something. When I first bought it, I went down and stood on it and looked around, and there was nothing around. It literally, I thought I had bought like a swamp in Florida. And Marcella said, Brad, just be patient. A couple of years later, 225-unit housing development, a rehab center. On the other side of me is BYD. You might have heard of them. They're a Chinese electric car manufacturer called Build Your Dreams. Warren Buffett has a 10% stake in the company. That's how much he believes in their company. They have their only North American electric bus manufacturing facility in Lancaster, California, which is right where all my property is. And they now bought the property to the west of me. It's less than a mile away. They bought a 160-acre property to build a second North American electric bus manufacturing facility. 1,000 workers who are going to need homes, schools, Starbucks, Macy's, you name it, 1,000 more workers moving into the city. Do you think my property, which is smack in the middle between these two things that are going on, do you think my property's gone up in value? Hell yes. I know somebody that already was trying to sell property that's zoned the same as mine, and they're selling it for 4 times what I paid. So my property is worth at least, I paid $115,000. I know it's worth at least $400,000 to $500,000 right now. So you ask me if I'm worried. No. Would I like to sell it sooner? Of course I would. I mean, I'm not stupid. I'd like to sell it today, but I'll wait. If I have to wait another 7 years, so it's 20 years, but I sell it for $1 million, and I went from $115,000 to $1 million in 20 years, no tax, all that money's mine. Was that a good investment? Yeah, I think so. I think my daughter, who'll get most of the money, will be very happy with the $1 million. I made a $900,000 profit in 20 years, if it even takes 20. I don't think it's going to take 20. It's going to start to happen hopefully sooner. But even if I wait 20 years, I don't care. I am very confident this land will sell for at least $1 million or more.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can find you and more resources around investing.
The best thing to do is email me. As I mentioned, I was just recently on vacation to Australia, New Zealand. We were on a cruise ship. I answered my emails every day. I was in the future. So it was Sunday for me in New Zealand. It was Saturday back here in California, but I still answered all my emails. Brad@bradwarren.com. BRAD@BRADWARREN.com. I respond to emails within 24 hours. That's the first step. We meet on Zoom. You get to chat with me, get to see if I'm kosher, if I'm the real thing. I'll send you the link to the presentation. You'll have to watch that before we talk any further. But once you do that and you're satisfied, then we keep talking and we find out what your goals are, what your dreams are, how much do you have to invest, what's your time horizon. If somebody tells me I need the money next year to put my kid through school, sorry, I'm not taking your land, your money, because it's going to take longer than that to sell your land. You're going to be calling me every 6 months, every 6 weeks. How's my land? How's my land? Oh, it rained last night. Your land is wet. Tomorrow it'll be dry. That's how your land's doing. So I've turned away investors that were inappropriate. They have to meet our guidelines as well.
Thank you.
Follow me for more property wealth strategies.